Ruth chapter number 1. I really want 21, but we'll get 20 also. Let's get verse number 20. Let's deal with Naomi here tonight. And she said unto them, verse number 20, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Yep. Verse 21, really what I want to deal with here tonight. Praise God. And I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? Amen. If the Lord would help us, I'd like to preach on emptiness here tonight. Running on empty.
Oh, yeah.
Running on empty. Praise God. When Naomi returned from Moab in despair, she told the people that she had left full, but she came back empty. Amen. All that she hoped to gain on her trip away was lost. She considered her life empty. Her attitude is mirrored in the lives of millions of people today. Amen. Who run off to obtain something in a land far away, who only return to find that if and anything I gained at all, when I came back home, I'm empty. Amen. I'm empty. The Bible says that God's word would not return void. Amen. And I thought this very interesting. In that same Hebrew word, in the Hebrew, it meant empty. God's word won't come back empty. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Praise God. Amen. What causes a person to feel that his life is empty, that his life is worthless, that his life is ineffective or void? Why do people run through life on empty? Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God. Sometimes I feel like that maybe something that we wished for, praise God. You ever really wish for something and you finally got it and you realize what you wished for did not fill that void that you thought it might have filled? Amen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
People wish for, I remember as a kid, I wished for certain things on Christmas. Amen.
Yeah.
And upon receiving those things that I really wished for, amen, I found out that once I had them a day or two, it was just any other toy in the closet. Amen.
Oh.
It didn't really make me as happy as I thought it might. Praise God. And I feel like maybe sometimes in life we are much like Naomi. Amen. We wish for things, but once we get them, it leaves a hollow, empty place down inside of our heart. We must listen to the wisest man, probably the most financially successful man also, that ever lived by the name of Solomon. Amen. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, all is vanity. Amen. What profit hath the man of his labor? Amen. He also said in chapter number 2 of Ecclesiastes, pleasure is vain. Amen. People seeking after things, but once they get them, realize that it's not what they thought it was. Amen. Absolute success in every area was profitless and vain. Amen. Whatever Solomon desired, he got, and it still left a empty spot in his heart.
Yeah.
Wealth and material possessions, as we preached the other night about contentment. Wealth and material possessions cannot satisfy. Amen. But you'll still have an empty spot. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Next thing I'd like to talk to us, that people run on empty because maybe they got their priorities in the wrong place. Amen. The priority of most people is to serve themselves. We are number one. Amen. And do you realize that's opposite of what the Bible teaches? Amen. That's opposite of what God teaches in His Word. I'm not number one. Amen. But we're supposed to put our brothers before ourselves, our sisters before ourselves, that sinner man before ourselves. Help me, God, to do your will, not mine. Help me to put God first, not me. Amen. Most miserable people that I've ever met are those that are selfish. Amen. Hey God, they're miserable. They're miserable from the inside out. Praise God. All they can think about is me, me, me. How can I get happy? How can I get what I want? Amen. That's some of the most miserable people that you'll ever be around in all of your life. Selfishness will leave you feeling empty. Amen. Hey God, when you are full of yourself, It leaves you feeling empty. I like this. But when you are empty of yourself, it leaves you feeling full. Amen. Thank God. When we empty ourselves out, we leave room for God. We leave room for someone else. Amen. Thank God. Our priority should not be, it should be to put the Lord first and not to put ourselves first. For seek ye first what? The kingdom of God. Amen. Seek Him first. Amen. His righteousness. And then all these other things that we want will eventually come if we put God first. Amen. But the problem is we put us first. Lord, I want a good job. Amen. God, I want to do this and do this and do that. Amen. Give me, give me, give me. And we put God last and we never get things right because we're operating backwards. Amen. God said to put Him first. Amen. And then everything else works out. Hallelujah. Hey, if I'll put Him first, He'll bless me, amen, with what I need. Lord, help me put You first, amen.
Thank
you, Lord. Amen. We end up wasting valuable time on worthless matters because our priorities get out of whack, amen. Paul admonished us to redeem the time for the days are evil, amen. Praise God. Make your life count for God, amen. I don't know why, maybe my age, and I don't account to be old by no means, amen. But I stand on, I think it's Brother Tommy today, I feel the heat much more now than I ever used to, so that lets me know I'm a little bit older than what I used to be, amen. Because I used to could work out in these 95 degree days, come in, praise God, go to church, get out of church about 10 o'clock, run to Giovanni's, hang out there to 12, 1 o'clock, come home, and still try to find something to do. Amen. I can't do that now. Praise God. Amen. 95 degree day, come home. It's a drag to take a shower, get my clothes on, go to church. And when I get out of church, great God, when I get home, cut Giovanni's out. When I get home, I'm ready to find a bed somewhere. Amen. Hey, thank God. Thank God. Hey, why? Because I know my days are numbered. Amen. Why? Because I look, I'm somewhere about halfway spent. Amen. My life is somewhere in the middle. Amen. I don't know. Maybe my life is the majority spent. But if you go by average life expectancy, I'm somewhere in the middle. Half of my days are behind me. And I might have half of them left. I don't know if it be the Lord's will. But looking at that perspective, where did the days go? Amen. Where did life go to? I don't have a whole, it seemed like it was just yesterday. I was roaming them Cofield Mountains, amen. It seemed like it was just yesterday. I was riding a horseback across the river down to my cousin's house, amen, riding a bicycle down to the church. It was just yesterday. Where did the days go? Help me, Lord, to spend what few days I have left with right priority. I want to put priority on every day. When I get up in the morning, help me to say, Lord, help me give this day to You. I don't have many days left, but the days that I have, I want to give them to You. Here it is, Lord. As Sister Dottie said, Lord, pray. Open that day up with prayer. Even if you don't have time to get on your knees and that clock ring and you realize you're late for work, pray while you're going out the door. Pray while you're riding down the road. Help me, Lord, to use this day with priority. Help me, God, to use this day the best I can for the kingdom of God. Amen. Why? Because we spend our life out of priority. Listen here, Isaiah 55:2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And you labor for that which satisfieth not. Hey, man, I can preach all night right here. But how many people labor for things? Great God, there's the yard I mow for down on West 3rd Street and about 10th Avenue over off from the park there. And this old guy had a boat there for a while. Amen. And a nice Ford truck. Nice little brick house. And the best I remember the other day, it was either another boat back behind that boat or maybe a dually we call them Chitsky. Amen. Something to that I didn't really have time to, but I just caught that in my mind thought, great God, I can understand one boat, but why do you need two? Amen. Why do you labor for that which satisfies not? Great God, I'm going to work a few hours over this week so I can buy another gadget. Amen. Yeah. So I can maybe have a little bit of fun, but why do you labor for that which satisfies not? Hey, God, hearken diligently unto me. Ooh. And eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Even the sure mercies of David. God said, give yourself to me, and I'll give you a covenant. Quit wasting your life. Amen. Ooh. Our priorities are hindered and even unanswered when our life is out of whack with God.
Right.
Woo! Amen. Reese, if you don't care, run back there and get me a bottle of water. I already drank mine. Amen. We're left, amen, with wrong priorities. Amen. James said, for do ye lust and ye have not, ye kill, and ye desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, amen, ye have not. Because why? He said, right here's the problem. You're out of whack. Amen. Hey, God, you kill, you desire, but you can't obtain, and you have not because you ask not. You ask not. You ask, rather, and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. Help me, God, to get myself in priority with you. Amen. The attitude of the rich young farmer is reflected in the lives of many of us today. He thought that he was full, but he was really running like Naomi on empty. Amen. Hey, God, listen here. He was depending upon his savings to last him many years. Amen. Many years of these luxury and satisfaction. He had it all planned out there in Luke chapter number 12. Go ahead and pop the lid on there for me. He did not realize his life was really running on empty. Hey, God. Hey, listen here. He had forgot all about God. Amen. I think if you read that at least six times, amen, he placed his security upon himself. And what I think six times he said, I'll pull down my old barns. I'll build greater barns. I've laid up in store. Amen. He had the I factor, but he forgot about the God factor. Amen. Amen. He put him first, but he forgot all about God. I believe a man ought to pay his bills. I believe a man ought to save up in store to try to make it for tomorrow. But when we get to the place. I left this out the other day when I was preaching on contentment, and I got on the wealth and the riches part. How my uncle always preached, amen, if it's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to go to heaven. Let me tell you something. I believe God blesses people with wealth. I believe God blesses people with money. But here's the problem. I don't think that the wealth or riches necessarily, amen, is what will take a person down that can cause a person to go to hell. But right here's the problem. This rich young man, he trusted in his riches and he forgot about God. Let me tell you something. Abraham was rich, but he remembered God. And David was rich, but he remembered God. There's nothing wrong with having money, but Jesus said the danger of having things, having wealth, and having possessions. You learn to trust that and not me. Amen. Hey, God, I come to tell us we better learn to trust God.
Yes.
It blessed me. Brother Kirk called even last night. He's still excited. He talked to Brother Gabbard, Danny Scott. Some of you don't know Danny Scott. He pastors in London, Kentucky. About 3 hours down the road. Brother Danny Scott, don't doctor. He don't even go to doctors. I don't fault a man for that if that's what he believes, and he's believed that for years. But he had that spot on his cheek, right here on his jaw. For 15 years, Brother Tom, it started off with just a spot, I guess, on his skin, and it's eight to a huge sore. And it went to his throat. He's pretty sure, but like I said, don't go to doctors. Because lately he said when he preached, his throat would swell up. He would get hoarse afterwards and he could hardly talk. And his throat would hurt so bad after he preached. Amen. And he told his wife here lately, a guy worth a big time money, very wealthy guy, owns oil rigs and multiple businesses from what I'm told. And he's been setting his affairs in order here lately. Been going down, getting things legal and set up. Who's going to get what of his wife and kids and family? He told him, told his wife, told his intermediate family, never did tell his church. But he told him, said, I'm dying the last several weeks. I feel myself dying. Amen. Hey, God. He had all the money he wanted. He could have went and found the best UK doctor anywhere he wanted to go. But he was trusting God. Amen. And this past Tuesday, Brother Kurt went down there, preached on God as a healer. And they said, oh, Brother Danny Scott got up there after Brother Kurt sat down and said, give me your notes. Brother Kurt preached on his mamaw cordial, how she made it seven times. Now, he preached, I'm pretty sure, that same message here. How amen, she made it seven times and the Lord healed her. He told about that lady in his church that had a stroke and God healed her. Told about old Joshua, how he was born with a hole in his heart and God closed it. Amen. And old Brother Danny Scott grabbed Kurt's notes and said, right here's a blank. After all them names, the next name's going to be on there is Danny Scott. Hey, he wasn't trusting in his riches, but he was trusting in a God that knows how to heal cancer. I come to tell you, church, he still heals. Brother Kirk called me, amen, last night. Brother Gabbard was there and laid hands on Danny Scott and prayed for him. And Brother Gabbard later said he saw like a spider that was thrown in the fire and it wilted away. And he said, God said, this cancer's going to wilt away. And Brother Gabbard told Kurt, amen, Saturday, said, oh, Danny Scott pulled that big bandage off of his jaw and showed me. And he said, I looked down inside of there and brand new flesh is growing from inside out. I've come to tell us God is a healer. We got to have right priorities. We got to put God first and God will move.
I'll never get done with all this.
Hey. Woo! Hallelujah. Every man's work shall be made manifest. Hallelujah. Hey, God, we got to empty ourselves. Amen. Of us and put more of God in. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Next, when washing out leaves us dejected, a lot of times we wash out. Amen. We try and we try so hard to accomplish that dream that maybe one time we had our eyes set on, but we fall short. Naomi had a dream, amen, of raising them kids and prospered. But great God, now her husband's dead. Now her sons are dead. Her dream was all washed out. Hey, and it left her empty. I come to tell us tonight, life has a way of washing us out and leaving us feeling empty. But I preach about a God tonight that knows how to bring life, knows how to bring joy, knows how to bring peace. Give me my joy back, Lord. Give me my peace back, God. Give me my sanity back, Lord. Hey, don't be washed out, but just keep on keeping on. Amen. Haggai said, now therefore, thus saith the Lord, 1 and 5, the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much, but you bring in little.
Yeah.
Ye eat, but you don't have enough. Sounds like Hudson. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. Hey, God, you clothe you, amen, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put them in a bag with holes.
Yeah.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts, amen. Hey, God, thus saith, amen, the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. That's what he said. Amen. Is your life like a bag with holes? Do all of your labor seem like it's in vain? Then you better reevaluate. Sit back down, reprioritize, and consider your ways. That's what he said.
Yes, Lord.
Look at it, amen. Hey, God. Amen. If you You're on a budget, amen. Everybody in America has to budget besides the government. If the government don't allow enough to pay the bills, we just go into more debt. Amen. Shut the government down a while, raise the debt ceiling, and we keep on going. But if me and you don't pay our, don't budget enough to pay our debt, ain't got the banks going to come knocking, and we got to go file bankruptcy, amen.
Come on. Yeah.
But before that happens, we got to sit down, Brother Tom. Here's my payments. Here's what I got coming in. And I got to do something here. Amen. To prioritize paying what I owe. Amen. Hey, you know what the Bible would say? We got to consider our ways. Amen. And that's the way it is when our life is spiritually bankrupt. What is it that's causing us? Are you not having enough devotion? Are you not having enough prayer? Are you not picking up the word enough? Are you not fasting? Are you not being faithful to the coming of the house of the Lord? You better consider your ways. You're earning wages, but you're putting them in a bag with holes. You're eating, but you're not full. You got clothes on your back, but you're not warm. I come to tell us, prioritize your way. Sometimes we grow empty because our walk with God is neglected. And when that happens, it leaves you feeling empty.
Yes.
It leaves you feeling empty. Lasting fulfillment comes from a daily walk with God. Woo. Amen. You ever been down, as they call it in the Mullet Grubs? You ever been down feeling sorry for yourself? You're the most miserable human being in all the world. You ever been there? We all been there. Amen. I tell you, I have found this. I picked up the phone when I've been down. Not necessarily told to people. I just thought, well, I'm going to call somebody and let's talk a while. Amen. Call somebody and talk, not tell them I'm down. When I get off the phone, I'm still down. Amen. I've even told people, pray for me. I'm having a hard time. I'm still down. But let me tell you something. I found when I go to Him and I said, Lord, I'm in a hard place. I'm in a down place. Thank God, when I consider Him and I put Him in the equation, He's got a way of turning it around, amen. Thank God, you better put Him in the middle. Some people quit. Amen. Some preachers quit. You've been in this way a long time. I've been in this way a long time. Sam, you've been in this way a long time. People, I've seen people quit that I never thought would quit. I've seen preachers lay up the Bible that I never thought would. Oh, God. Woo!
Yeah.
Amen. You neglect your walk with God, you'll find yourself quitting.
Right.
Lord, help me. I'm out done here. Amen. You neglect prayer. You neglect the simplicities of reading the Word of God. You neglect the simplicity things of doing the very things you know you should do. You neglect those things. And for you know it, you'll feel like quitting. Amen. Paul said, Demas, boy, he really had a desire. But Demas, having loved this present world, he got to where he got, started neglecting his walk with the Lord. He got to looking back, petting on the things that he used to do. Demas, having loved the present world, Demas got his eyes on the things that he used to do. He got his eyes on the present day world. And guess what happened to Demas? He quit. Oh, Lord, help us, God. Woo! Look at Elimelech and Naomi. Elimelech was a noble man. He was a man of wealth. He was a man popular in society. People in his neighborhood looked up and asked him for advice and decision. But great God, Elimelech got away from God and he went to Moab. Amen. And he quit. He lost out with God. Amen. It's easy to do when you neglect your ways with the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Isaiah 65:13, behold, my servant shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. Behold, my servant shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant, ye shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. Behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry of sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. But ye shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, For the Lord God shall slay thee and call his servants by another name. Jeremiah described this empty life of God. Amen. Neglectful people. In 2 and 13, for my people have committed two evils. For they have forsaken me. They neglected me. They forsook me. They forsook doing what they knew to do. The fountain of living waters, and they hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Let me tell you something. The ways of the world can't hold no water.
That's right.
Woo!
That's right.
Let me tell you something. Yeah, you can run down to the worldly church. Amen. They speak in tongues and shout too, but it's broken cisterns. There's no water.
You're right.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Help me, Lord. I'm trying to help us right here. I wish everybody was here tonight. Oh, God. Help us, Lord. Amen. It led to waste like a man trying to fill up a bucket. Amen. Look out there, Brother Daniel. Amen. You're trying to water your garden, but that bucket's got holes all in it. And you go over to the well. Amen. And you dip out water and you put it in your bucket. And you're carrying that bucket. But before you get it to the first tomato plant to dump some water on, the water leaked out because it's got holes. That's what your life is. When it's out of concordance with God. Amen. It's like a bucket. With holes, amen. Woo! Lastly, when the wicked start living when wicked living is respected and not corrected. I like that. That's where we are today. Wicked living is respected and it's not corrected. Amen. Oh, yes. Help us, Lord. I'm not being mean. Amen. But how does this happen? I'll tell you a lot of times how it happens. Amen. The pastor's kids or the preacher's kids or some pitted family in the church's kids do wrong. Amen. And they come in doing things that we disagree with. Amen. That we've always preached against. But we, instead of correcting it, amen, we respect it and say, well, that's little Johnny and Susie. Let's put them up here and sing. Let's put them up here and play instruments. Let's put them up and do like they've always did when they're not living right. Hey, God, it should be corrected and not respected. Tell them it's sin. And if they want to do God's work, they got to live godly. Satan's big lie is sin will satisfy. Sin is fun. It'll make you happy. But I tell you what he don't tell is that sin soon sours.
Woo. Yes, sir.
Oh, God. Hey, man, I'm trying to find that whole message. I listened to old Phil Kidd the other night. I like to hear him, but a lot of times I seriously listen to him as I'm laying there just kind of relax. He's entertainment, really. He says a lot of crazy stuff. But he's telling a good story on drunkenness. I told some of it the other night. He said he was coming down to Interstate 77 there on the turnpike. He was an evangelist for years. He pastors in Kingsport, Tennessee now. He's an old Baptist preacher. He's what they call a fundamentalist Baptist. Amen. So he's pretty hardcore really for a Baptist guy. But he said he was coming across the mountains of West Virginia, and he said he seen all kinds of commotion, and he nearly ran over somebody. He was up on it before he knew it. There was people, he said, laying out all the road, beside the road. It was an old S10 truck or a Ranger truck, small truck, with two or three in the cab and three or four in the bed of it. They was all drunk out having a big time. They was graduating in a night or two down the road. Hey, man. And the driver was so drunk, he wrecked, and people went scattered everywhere. Two or three of them laying dead. You know, he could tell way better than me. But he said he got to this one that was still gasping for breath and still living and was able to talk a little bit. And he said he looked at him and he said, hey, son, I'm a man of God. I'm a preacher. I'm about done. I'm a preacher, he said. He said, in just a few short moments, unless God helps you, you're going to be facing God. You better pray. And he was trying to tell him how to pray, trying to pray him through. Amen, right there. And he said that old boy was so drunk he couldn't pray. But he said, he remembered this. He looked up at him and he said, preacher, don't let me die drunk. Preacher, don't let me die drunk. Preacher, don't let me die drunk. Hey, and old Phil said he tried to get him to pray, but he never did pray. And he said, I held him in my arms when he took his last breath. And he said, the bystanders were around, and one of the bystanders looked at me and said, preacher, why did he keep saying that? There's nothing wrong with drinking. And old Phil Kidd said, he looked at that bystander, and he said, I'll tell you why he said that. Because once upon a time, he sat in an old backwoods church and listened to an old leather lung preacher and told him those ways are sending to hell, and he didn't want to meet God that way. I come to tell us sin has to be corrected. Sin has to be preached against. We got to raise up a generation that fears God and not pat it on the back. Who's ever seen a generation where people can literally shack up together and go to these nominal churches and teach Sunday school classes? Who would have ever thought that?
Lord.
Who would have ever thought you could shack up, drink casually? Well, they're not alcoholics, they're casual drinkers. and sing in gospel bands, fill our churches in leadership roles. Who would have ever thought that? I'll tell you how that happened. Because sin was respected. That's all right. That's Johnny's boy. That's the deacon's boy or daughter. Oh, that's old preacher. So, hey man, they'll come around one day and we pat it on the back, and somebody else comes in and we got to pat them on the back. And soon sin is tolerated because it never was corrected. Sin soon sours. Proverbs 22:8, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity. Yeah. Wicked living leads to running on empty. Wicked people have no peace and no joy in their life and in their heart. I didn't get but half done. I'm sorry. Amen. Don't let them make you think that they're happy. Listen, you look out there at this world and they're living it up. They're drinking, they're smoking dope. Amen. They're running with the worldly crowd. They're going out to the ball games, Friday night crowd, cruising. Amen. They're doing all them things that look like fun. They're not having fun.
Right on, man.
They're empty down inside of their heart. Amen. Why do you say that? I'll tell you why. Because God said, Isaiah 57:20, but the wicked are like a troubled sea when it cannot rest. And what's a troubled sea does? Up and down, it cannot rest. Whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. There's no peace to the wicked. They're like a restless sea. They're tossed to and fro. And there's no peace, amen, to the wicked. Do you feel empty because of the guilt of sin in your life? Realize that simple living don't give any peace. And run back to God like the prodigal did. Amen. Sin robs, it ruins, it removes the joy and the blessings of the Lord out of your life.
Yes, Lord.
The prodigal son decided to live a wicked life when he left his father's home. Notice this, when he was at dad's house, there was peace. There was joy. There was contentment. There was comfort. Amen. There was that great feeling of being home. But he gets a big wild hair. Dad, why don't you go ahead and give me my part? Amen. I'm going to make it big down in the country, Western music. Amen. I'm going to make it big down in Nashville. I'm going to make it big down in Hollywood. Hey, God, I'm going to go to Moab, but I'm going to succeed down in Moab. Why don't you go ahead and give me my portion? Amen. I'm done. But what happened to the prodigal son? He found out that living a simple life leaves one feeling empty.
Amen.
Oh God. Woo! Verse 15 says that after he had spent all, he began to be in want. When you're empty, you need, you want.
Yes.
I hadn't ate for a while. About 12:30 today, I was in want. I think I ate the whole chicken dinner. There he's gone.
He did. I was there.
Woo! I know I ate all his wings.
Yeah, he did.
Praise God. When you're empty, you want. And that prodigal son got to the place where Tommy, he was in want. Amen. He was in want.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And when he's in one, I'm not done, but I'm done. Stand with me, calls his house about. And when he was in one, he said, how many hired servants has my father? Back home. He got bread enough to spare. He's got fatted calves out there in the field.
Yeah.
Woo! Cows are lying in rolling fields back home.
This thing needs the husks.
I'm empty. Oh God. Sinful living leads you empty. Help us, oh God. Help us, oh God. I'm preaching to you tonight, church. Amen. Don't let the world proclaim and try to pull you and show you that there's fullness in the world. There's no fullness in the world. Amen. Hey God, don't reject this word. Amen. Let not him that deceived trust in vanity. Praise God, for vanity shall be his recompense. Great God, don't let this old world tell you, amen, that you can trust in old Mother Mary and trust in the priest and trust in the Pope. But I come to tell you there's a Savior you have to trust in, and his name is Jesus. He's the only one, Brother Gene, I know that can satisfy. Amen. Great God, the Pope can't satisfy. Mother Mary can't satisfy. Amen. Muhammad can't satisfy. William Branham can't satisfy. Amen. All these idol gods, they can't satisfy. But I found one. And he said, taste of me and see that I am good. Hey God, he told another one, take a drink. Hey God, and when you take a drink of living water, it'll be a well of water springing up. Hey God, it'll forever satisfy. I'm glad I found that satisfaction in that great well of water.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, it does.
I feel like you're not, I know. We were running on a low crowd. We got some sick. Old Anthony's been up in that hospital almost all week suffering. They cut him. Biggest old cut I guess I ever seen. I'm a nurse. I nursed for 12 years. They cut him from his rib cage all the way down. Fixed two big hernias in there. His bowels were stuck together. He's up there suffering. Amen. We'll try to go see him here in a minute. Amen. Oh, Brother Daniel, amen. But I'll tell you what, church, you don't have to run on empty. You don't have to listen to the devil.
You're right.
Don't neglect his word. Be that witness. Amen. It'll make you feel good. It'll make you feel good. Whether they reject you or not, you'll still feel good. That's what he read there a while ago. It'll release you from yourself to trust God. Anybody say, I went down there to that apartment building on West 9th and knocked on that door when he was walking in there, knocking on them old poor apartments. And old guy came with that old long shaggy hair, clear down on his back. And I'm pretty innocent, really. If I get around a bunch of guys, they always laugh at me because I don't know nothing. I don't know that worldly lingo. I didn't even know what a reefer was for a long time. Amen. I don't know all them lingos.
Yeah.
But when they got on that door, I knew that wasn't cigarette smoke. I've been around cigarette smoke. This was different smoke than that. And I said, Taylor, is that what that is? And he laughed at me. He said, yeah. He said, buddy, we're out here telling people about Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. One of my favorite go-tos is, do you know that it's once appointed to man to die? And after death is a judgment, if you should die, are you ready to meet God?
He said, yeah, man.
Yeah. He said, I'm ready to go to grace. I thought, you need grace. I go to grace. Thank God for that grace. Hey. Oh, Lord. I thought about that lots of times. But at least that old boy, somebody cared about him. So, guy, a couple blocks down. We hadn't been in here very long. In this church right here, very long. I was just curious about the Lord. Won't you come up and see us one night? We sound like or something. I've done it lots of times. Going up and down these streets, telling people, passing out flyers and stuff. And this old man was out there, and I said, buddy, the Lord loves you, and I got to tell you about Jesus. Well, Tom, and he was empty. And he told me, he said, hey, son. He said, I live with two women. Well, I didn't really believe him. There was one out there on the porch, and after some time, another one come out. And I thought, well, this is a gifted man. Any guy can put up with two women has to be gifted, Brother Daniel. I can say that. Michelle ain't here. Amen. Woo! Stupid. There you go. And I was telling about the Lord, and he said something to the effect, he said, God don't love me, I'm wicked. You know, I got two women, and I've lived a wicked life. And I was telling him, I said, God does care about you. And I'll never forget that tear. Watered up under his eyelid of his eye, and it finally trickled down. Amen. He didn't live much longer after that, or he moved on, because he had one of them fancy ramps. You know, them old aluminum ramps they come and put up, and he had one of them up, and I noticed it for a while. Amen. Once again, I should have went back. You know, a lot of times we drop the ball. We go and we have success, and the Lord, and I should have went back in a week or two, and Lord, help me. Help me correct my wrongs, God. Help me do that. I should have went back, amen, and followed back up on that.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
He said, I'm empty. And I ain't found nothing full out here in this whole world. Amen. That, let me tell you something. I'm more, this is way different preaching than I usually do. You'll not find no fullness out there in this world. It don't satisfy. Amen. It don't satisfy. Amen. There's no pleasure to the wicked, Isaiah said. There's no pleasure to the wicked.
Right.
Amen. Who'll be the first to kneel in these altars up here tonight? God. I don't want to run on empty. I've been running on empty too long. Lord, I want to fill up, amen. I want to get my priorities straight.
Lord,
I want to get my priorities right. Oh, Lord. Come on, church. I know it's 8 o'clock. Give God 5 minutes here. Give God 5 minutes. Oh, God, this is important. Give me 5 minutes of your time. Oh, God. I don't want to be empty.
Now I find I'm empty, and if I confess my sins, would you let me fill your spirit once again? Thank you. What you